Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Are you blessed? I said the worship is going to be 15, 20 minutes, and Vilmarie said, when the anointing comes, you always continue, and then I suddenly struggled. So, praise God. We're going to get into the Word. And let's see if I can keep that short. Amen. Are you blessed? I want to speak this morning on the meaning of Christmas, but we want to welcome all the online guests, those who are joining us who can't be here this morning, or maybe you're on holiday. We bless you, and we hope that you enjoy the service with us and that the Word will minister to you as well this morning. So I want to speak on the meaning of Christmas and just a little bit, and then 4 points, then we're done. So it's not going to be long. Wendy. But I want to say that if you haven't thought about it, but did you realize that the virgin birth of Jesus was totally normal in every respect except one? Normal except one. Mary didn't become pregnant without the contact with the seed, with a seed. Because God didn't remove or nullify the laws of reproduction, you know, when he created that, weren't not suspended with him. That's the law. So he made it, and that's how it works. All right. And I'm sure most of you know how it works. So there had to be a seed for her to fall pregnant. And exactly everything was like all the other millions of mothers giving birth, except God used the seed of his word this time. Instead of the seed of man, he used the seed of his word to get Mary pregnant. He spoke the word. Remember, John 1:14 says this, that the word was made flesh. Come on, and dwelled among us. So Jesus is the word. We know this. And the word was made flesh. But so remember, everything in creation, God spoke into existence. But then he formed man and he blew his breath into man. And when he comes again and he speaks, Jesus, he speaks to Mary by the angel. He speaks and she gets impregnated by the word of God. You with me? All right, you can say amen every now and then. So Jesus is literally the word that was spoken becoming flesh. He's not just the word because it's the Bible and he's the word made flesh. He literally became, as the angel spoke the word and says, you will conceive. He became, the word that was spoken was made manifest. It became flesh. You with me? So God uses the word as his sperm to conceive Jesus. That's what he spoke. And one of the questions maybe, because that's many times people or atheists and all these guys ask, but why did God wait? Or why did, you know, he couldn't he see the fall of man? And, you know, why couldn't he fix things or prevent this? But my question as well is this: why did God take 4,000 years from the fall of man before he sent Jesus? Why couldn't he send him just after Adam sinned and he could fix everything? Why 4,000 years? One, God is a God of principles. And one of God's principles when God created the heavens and the earth is that he spoke them into existence. This Hebrews 11 speaks this, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You could maybe have different translation. That's the ESV. I'm reading from a different one this morning. But it says by faith. Come on, say by faith. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God spoke. And I love this because the word says, still by the power of his word, everything is upheld. So we are still here. The reason you're breathing is because God is still faithful to his word. Amen. God spoke and it's still there. So God created everything by his word. That's how he creates. And when it became time to create the last Adam, because we had the first Adam and not the second, it was the first Adam and the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 says that God had to speak him into existence. He had to speak the second Adam. However, the thing that we have, our dilemma or the situation was that God has given dominion to us. True? God gave dominion to man and to us to rule and to reign. And since God is spirit, he needs the body. So he couldn't just speak Christ into existence independent of man. Because he gave us the dominion and the authority. He said, you rule and reign. It's your dominion. Rule and reign with me. So he had to speak and follow a certain pattern. He had turned control to us. And that's why God had to become man. So that we could restore. So that we can come back to life. The question is, how can he come and work through sinful, corrupt man to create a redeemer? How's that possible? Because we were sinful, we were corrupt now, and now he comes and he brings a redeemer. You see, the heart of men, he's spoken to the heart of men. That's how, by the words, 4,000 years, he spoke to the hearts of men that will listen, that will be sensitive to his spirit, that will hear him and use their God-given authority to rule and reign and have dominion, and they will speak prophecies that comes from the heart of God. They will prophesy the Messiah. They will speak of the King to come. So for 4,000 years, God used man who heard him. But Jesus, remember he says, you know, I love that part. Né? Father, I have manifested your name, the fullness of God. And God is so great, so big. There's a progression in his name where he comes to Abram and he says, I am the God of Abram. That's who I am. And he introduces himself to Moses at a stage. And Moses says, oh yes, you are the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Because for 500 years, that's how they know him. The God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, no, I am. Who? Not the I am who I am, that part, but he says, I am Jehovah. And he says, no, you are the God of Abram, Isaac. He says, by that name, they didn't know me. I declared or revealed myself to Abram as El Shaddai, the God of all might. But now there's more and there's a progression until he comes. He says in the wilderness, I am Jehovah Jireh, I'm your provider. And I am Jehovah Nissi, I'm your banner and I'm your righteousness. He comes and more reveals. Because covenant is cut. You have to trade names. You have to reveal who you are. In this covenant that he cuts, he keeps on revealing more and more and more the fullness of who he is. Until Jesus comes and he says, I have manifested your name, the fullness. Therefore it says, he, Jesus, has been given the highest name. There's no other name higher because Jesus is the encapsulation, the fullness of who God is. Amen? You with me? So now he comes and to just by one prophecy, prophesy the fullness of God's impossible. We cannot. So for 4,000 years, God puts it in the heart of men to prophesy and declare the fullness of God and who he is so that when he comes of the word, he can be made manifest. That he can come as the fullness. 4,000 years of prophecies of who he is. You see, our problem is that men had become separated with God. So no one man alone was tuned enough with God to speak everything into existence. Therefore, he had to use many people to complete the prophecies that he's spoken to create a body for God to become flesh. And Mary comes and receives this message from Gabriel and she humbles herself. And what does he say? By the word, she says, Luke 1:38, be it unto me according to you, your word. According to your word. Again, the word that's spoken. She receives the word in her womb. And conception takes place. Same with us. 1 Peter 1:23 says that we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You are born by the word of God, the incorruptible seed, which lives and abides forever in you. So God's word is a spiritual seed. That has to be planted in our hearts to conceive miracles. Who of you want a miracle? Amen. All right, let me tell you something. Maybe you won't raise your hand that quickly now. We all have been born again of the incorruptible seed of God. But the thing is, once a seed is planted, it needs to be nurtured, isn't it? There's a maturing process. It needs to germinate and come up. That's where prayer comes in your life. If you have a prayerless life, prayer is like the fertilizer and the water of the incubation of that seed. If you take water and fertilizer and you just throw it on barren ground, nothing's going to happen. Who's the gardeners here? Is it true? If you take water and fertilizer and you threw it on barren ground, nothing's going to happen, is it? There needs to be a planting of a seed first. You would consider a woman crazy. Here's a doctor, ne, Yadin? We'll consider someone that comes to you trying to have a child without following the natural laws of reproduction, whichever way, you're going to say you're crazy. I can't say it in English. Okay, I don't know what it's in English. Wind pollination, okay. A very direct translation. But when the wind blows, you're not going to fall pregnant. Maybe when the wind of the Spirit blows, amen. But there's certain things that need to take place. So without the seed, nothing can come. And then you need to put fertilizer. You can't put fertilizer and water on barren ground and expect something. There needs to be a seed first. And here the thing is that us, as Christians, how many times we're trying to give birth to miracles without planting the Word of God first in you? We want the miracle, but do you have the Word? Is the Word planted in you so that when you fertilize it, it can grow? Or you want the miracle without the planting of the seed? The planting of the Word, nothing. We need the planting of the Word in us before it can come and give birth and grow. Amen? And here the message of the angel comes. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. This is an announcement that not the world and the problems, there's war in Mozambique now. Not that the world's problems is going to be solved. What he announces here, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. He's declaring the war, the hostility between man and God has ended. That God has removed that hostility, that now there's, you can come close again to God. That there's no more war, peace and goodwill. God has a plan and a purpose. He's good towards us. That's a proclamation that the war between God and man is over. How many people still think that God is mad at them? Or God is mad, or maybe God's just in a bad mood. The thing is, God's not even in a bad mood. Jesus on the cross satisfied God's wrath completely. That's what happened when he came. He's just. There will be punishment for those who refuse the sacrifice, the gift of God. God's not angry. He's taken care of that. Listen to what Hebrews 9 from verse 24 says. For the Messiah did not go into the sanctuary made by human hands that is merely a copy of the one that's true, but he go into heaven itself to appear now in God's presence on our behalf. Neither did he go into heaven to sacrifice himself again and again, the way the high priest goes into the holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the creation of the world. But now, at the end of the ages, he has appeared once for all to remove sin by his sacrifice. And indeed, just as people are destined to die once, after that to be judged, so the Messiah was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. Have you heard? Not to deal with sin. Sin is dealt with. He says, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly wait for him. So there's four things. There's four things, then we're done. Told you it's going to be quick. But it's four heavy big points. John 1. Verse 1 to 5 and 10 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. What it says here is that little babe in the manger, have you realized that that's the Creator of everything? That's the one who says, I still uphold everything by the power of my Word. That's Christ incarnate. You see, Christ left the glory of heaven, voluntarily became man. Before we understand, you know, we should actually understand John 1:1, before we go to Luke, where it says that little baby in a manger, you have to understand that he's the word. Christ always was. Before he became the baby in the manger, Christ always was. The baby is the creator. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." You see, the first thing I want you to understand is that he is God over us. When we look at Christ and the gift, he is God over us. Come on, say God over us. Amen. He's the creator, he's the sustainer. Colossians 1:17 then say, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist," or all things hold together. He's the sustainer. He's the judge. He says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, for he's a righteous judge." Revelations 1:8 says, "This little baby in the manger is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." That's what the book of Romans says. Romans 9:5 says that Christ is over all. Christ is over all. And he says, "God blessed be forever. Amen." So since he's God over us, we actually owe him our allegiance. We owe our obedience and our worship to him. Because he's God over us. He's Lord over us. You see, many people don't mind the little baby in the manger or even the man on the cross. Because neither are in a position that makes a demand from us. A little baby in a manger, well, when they cry, you feed them and, you know, they can keep you busy. But get the picture. They don't demand something. You can decide. Even on a cross, you can say, you can walk away. But when you understand that that baby grew up, it says that he died on a cross, but he rose again. And the word says now he's seated at the right hand of God. We come to realize that he's Lord over us. He's not that baby anymore. He grew up, he died on the cross, but he rose again, and he is seated in authority, Lord over us. Amen. My question is, have you submitted your heart to the Christ? Have you submitted your heart? Second point is this: he's God for us as well. He's not just Lord over us, but he's God for us. Verse 4 and 5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it." You see, God didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save. That's what he says. "I didn't come to condemn, I came to save." Christ came for us. Do you believe it? Christ came for you. Romans 5, let me say it again. "God showed his love towards us, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us." And then further on, Romans 8:31, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" He's for us. "He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, it is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for," oh, it's not there, us. Come on, say for us. He's not just God or Lord over us, he's God for us. You have to believe it. He's for you, he's God for us. Christ came all the way for you. So why turn away? Why turn him away? Have you accepted him? Not just Lord over you, but God for you. The third thing, verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Matthew account says it like this. He says, "And Mary shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us." So he's not just Lord over us, he's not just for us, but he says, "I came here, I am with us. He's with us. Amen. God for us, but also God with us. You see, he came, why? Because he says that we have a high priest that can empathize or sympathize with us. Because he went through our same feelings of infirmities. He dwelled among us. He experienced pain, the loss of a parent, hardships, difficulties, rejection, betrayal. He's experienced all those things. The same as us. He's with us. You're not alone in what you experience. But he also experienced the joy of relationship, the delight, the bond of friendship. Though he never sinned, the word says, he carried the weight of sin, isn't it? So he's not just God over us. It's not just God for us, but he's God with us. Can you experience his presence that is close by? But come on, it gets even better. Amen. Say, it gets better. Verse 10 says, he was in the world and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. And even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here's the best part. That babe in the manger was God in human form, but he grew up, as I said, he died and he rose again. And now this is the best part. He wished to live in you. He's not just Lord over us, not just for us, not just with us. He wants to be the Christ in us. He wants to be the Christ in us. Closer and closer. Colossians 1. He says, to whom God would make known that his riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And this is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what he wants to be. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 4:19, he says, my little children, of whom I have travailed in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul speaks, he says, that's my wish. Christ be formed in you. Christ in us. Come on, say, Christ in me. You see, Jesus didn't come to just become like a religious cult figure or, you know, just, he came to be your personal redeemer, your Lord, your Savior. But does he live in you? Does he live in you? He wants to. And this is the thing about Christmas. Christmas means that God is over us, and the God over us was willing to send his son to this cursed earth, the eternal word, the Logos. God stepped out of heaven into a manger, and he became a God for us, willing that you should not perish, should not die. Come on, God's pulling for you. If you go to hell, you're going to go there against his will. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He's a God for you. But God says, he's not just up there rooting for you, because we many times think that God's up there. That's one of the other progressions, is at the beginning they thought God's up there. But God came closer and closer and closer until Jesus says, God within us. My dwelling is within us. You are a temple, the abiding place. And this is what God says. God with us. God feels your pain. He says, I am Emmanuel, the God that's with us. Colossians 3:3-4, then we're done. He says now this, Paul, for you have died. He speaks of us. He says, we have died. When you lay down, we become born again. Even when you're baptized, it's the burial with Christ. He says, for now we have died. And he says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. He desires to be God in and through us as well. You see, we cannot live a good Christian life. It's only Christ who can do that. We can surrender and allow the life of Christ to flow through us. That's who He is. That's my heart this morning, that you just hear this and know this. He's not just Lord over us. He's also God for us. He's also God with us. But He wants to be the God in us as well. Let's just close our eyes. Father, this is our heart and our desire. Will you open the door to your heart and let Him in? Maybe you are born again. I'm speaking if you have no relationship. Maybe you know He's Lord. But you lack the part where is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants to be the King over your heart as well. Have you submitted to His Lordship and say, Lord, become the King of my life. If you haven't done that, I want you this morning. If you want to become born again, to serve Him, I want you to surrender and give your life to the Lord. To say, I know that you are there, King over us, but I've never made you King in my life and allowed you to be God in me. Maybe you serve God. Maybe you've done that, but maybe you don't experience His presence and His closeness. He's Emmanuel, God with us. I want to tell you, God wants to come in closer this morning, to come and let you experience His presence. Maybe you've been disappointed and you feel like everything goes wrong. I want to tell you, the Word says God is for us. You start changing your heart and your mind and the way you think and know that God is for you. For if God is for us, who can be against us? Whatever you need, God wants to be. So Father, I come and I pray that Your Spirit will just come and minister to our hearts. And that we this morning can receive the gift of Jesus. Because that's what You've come to do. Coming in the manger was so much bigger than just us giving gifts. Coming in a manger was so much more than just the aim of getting to heaven. Try our very best. One day when you get to die, you're going to get to go to heaven. That's not the aim. That was just one of the means. But Paul writes, he says, you get born again, and God is in us and for us and with us, so that even here in this life, you can rule and reign. Be restored back to the place of authority and dominion that God has given you. That's why. So Father, my prayer is that we will get to that fullness and that we will get back to that plan of God, the purpose of God. We'll get to receive You and get to acknowledge You, but also to come and accept that. So I bless everyone here, Father, this morning. Because that's what Your Word says. Whoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. That You are near. His arm is not too short to reach out and save. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. Whatever you need, call upon His name. He's Lord over us, for us, with us, and in us. We give You the honor and the praise in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Amen. If you want a fellowship, if you need prayer or ministry, we have a couple of people here. We'll just pray with you. But enjoy the day. Thank you for coming. And I hope that you really experience the gift of God and who He is, and that He will come and touch your heart, and that you will come to get Him, to know Him in a new way. Amen. And that God will break something open for you, what you need Him to be. God wants to be for you. So go and allow yourself to receive that. God has come. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website on bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.